This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Hi, everyone. We are here for another episode of Style and Conversation, and this is the final episode for our 30 Flirty and Thriving. We are talking marriage and babies after 30, and we have our special guest, Miss Samia Iman, here with us, and I'm so excited to welcome her in and for you all to dive into this conversation with us. So I'll jump right in by introducing her. Samia Iman is a published freelance writer and style enthusiast. Sam, as her loved ones call her, uses her platform to advocate for individuality, healing, self-awareness, and social issues affecting Black women. Sam's journalistic and fashion work has been featured in national publications such as Hello Beautiful, Essence.com, Fashion Bomb Daily, and XO Nicole, to name a few. The Louisiana native holds a bachelor's and master's degree in communications from Grambling State University and Howard University. Sam is a wife and mother to a 2-year-old boy. She firmly believes in radical self-care, which aids her in being the best human she can be. Sam religiously practices yoga and meditation and believes that life, like yoga, requires a balance of consistency and stillness. Sam's primary goals in life are to continue to be present, to breathe deeply, adequately prepare her Black son for the world, evolve spiritually, advocate for herself and other Black women through her shared nonprofit, Black Women for Self, and be as fashionable on the inside as she is on the outside. Well, I know that has you all excited to hear from our guests, so we are going to jump right in. Sam, how are you?
I am doing well, just trying to be in the moment, be present. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm really excited, and it'll be really easy to be in the moment with this conversation because it's something that's so important. When I reached out to you, just to share with the listeners, I thought about Sam because I had met you during my time living in New Orleans, and you were always so gracious and humble in any environment that I met you. Not only are you beautiful, but you reflect that on the inside as well. Thank you. And obviously, you all, you can't tell by her face card, but so I later found out her age, I was like, okay, girl, like, let me, you know, make sure I'm minding my business and doing everything that you're doing. And I was just really impressed with your journey, yours and your husband's, of how you all got together and, you know, the fact that you had your son, what society would consider later on in life. Mm-hmm. And you had what I know to be a healthy pregnancy. And I know you had actually shared some of your birth story mm-hmm. on your social platform at some point, which I'll allow you to share with the readers. But that is why I reached out to you. And so I'll start, you have such an impressive career. So tell me about that journey, which we're all still becoming. And also to add into that, at what point in your career path, just life journey, did you and your husband meet?
Okay. So first of all, thank you for that lovely introduction. That was sweet. Every time I bump into you, you were such a light and I appreciate you. I did not know you were not in New Orleans anymore. Where are you?
In Atlanta. We moved to Atlanta.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Because okay. We stayed and, you know, by the time the storm hit, it was a 4.
Yeah.
And, you know, living in New Orleans, because I'm from Mobile, same, like, very similar culture.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
One person doesn't want to leave, everybody stays.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. by the time the storm hit, it was a category 4. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is a lot. The whole city, yep. we were displaced. We didn't have power for 2 weeks. So,
it was a lot. Know.
Yeah, yeah, it was a lot. But I love New Orleans. I tell everybody, I always light up talking about the city. I never thought I'd leave. There's yeah. just no place in the world like it.
That's true. It's like its own planet for sure.
It really is. It
really yeah, is. Yeah. So, okay, back to me, my journey, my career journey. So I am from Monroe, Louisiana. And from there, I went to Grambling State University. And I majored in mass communications. Because at the time, I did like doing interviews and I liked to write, but I did not know that I could do creative writing for a living. I just thought I could only work for the news or a PR mm-hmm. company. You know what I'm saying? So I'm 18. So I major in mass communications and I actually have a concentration in broadcast journalism. And so during my time at Grambling, I got like an internship where I was working for a production company where I got the chance to write for documentaries and commercials. And I love writing the scripts. And so I went hard in that internship. And after I graduated, they immediately hired me. So I worked for a production company for a couple of years. And we had to actually go film a conference in D.C. And so we went to D.C. to film the conference. And I fell in love with D.C. It was known as Chocolate City that time. It was a lot of us walking around professional. It was cool. And I was like, okay, I'm going to get my master's degree at Howard. And so I came home and told my parents, and my father was like, you don't even have to go that far. My mother was like, are you sure? I'm like, I'm sure. Because when I started off in undergrad, I started off at Southern University, but I got homesick. So I came back to Grambling. And so now I'm coming home at what, 21 years old, saying, okay, now I'm about to go move to DC. And it was like, girl, you couldn't even make it in Baton Rouge. And that was like 3 hours away, but now you're about to go to DC. I was like, yeah, I'm going to DC. So I went to Howard to further my communication studies. And there I first majored in film when I went to Howard, because after writing scripts for documentaries, I always been in love with music and fashion. And so I wanted to direct videos. I used to love watching videos on television, music videos. So I wanted to direct like old school R&B music videos. And so I went to Howard to major in film first. And then I thought about, okay, so I'm gonna need a job as soon as I graduate. And I'm not sure if I can get a film job quickly after I graduate. So I decided to major in mass communications, public relations. And there I got the opportunity to start writing, but it was just like creative writing. And I still didn't know that I could do like writing for fashion for a living. Of course, I knew about magazines and things, but I didn't know how to get into that sector. And soon after I graduated, I came back to Louisiana for various, actually, I was engaged. I was about to get engaged. Yeah, I was about to get engaged, but I was actually about to go to Atlanta. And okay. So he was like, well, why don't you move closer so we can try to work on our relationship? And I really wasn't thinking about moving closer to him. I was thinking about furthering my career. So I was supposed to get a job in V103 in Atlanta, but it didn't fall through. So I said, if I don't get the job, then I'll come closer to you. So I did get the job, came closer to him, came back this way. Long story short, I started writing for a publication in Baton Rouge. And then from there, I started getting more writing jobs. And then it's turned into fashion writing jobs because that's what I was interested in. And so I went that way in that direction, opened up my own online boutique. I had that for a couple of years with a best friend of mine back from Monroe. And that's the first time I got on social media. And when I got on social media just to, you know, promote my online boutique, I started putting on the clothes to show people how to wear them. And I got more engagement when I put on the clothes to show people how to wear them. So that kind of ventured off into my own style blog. And then from there, I started getting more writing gigs. And here I am now.
There you go. And it all just took off it was just an organic path.
Exactly.
And from you being yourself.
Yes. And then I worked also when I was in Baton Rouge. I was writing on the side, but worked for the government for about 9 years. And I ended up moving here because I never really meant to work for the government because I'm a creative person. I like to be in a creative sector. But I had to do what I had to do to eat and pay bills. And so I ended up saying, you know what? The relationship that I moved to Louisiana, back to Louisiana for, ended up ending. And I said, if I'm going to be in Louisiana, I'm going to be in New Orleans, because, you know, where else would you be if you're going to live in Louisiana? So I moved to New Orleans. I started freelance writing. That's when I was working for Fashion Bomb Daily. And so I went ahead and got the courage to quit my state job working for Fashion Bomb Daily and some other publications. And then I wanted to purchase a house. And so with my freelance work, there wasn't enough for me to get a house. And so I looked for another job, and I ended up working in Morris Bart's marketing firm, where I did their social media. And so that allowed me to purchase real estate. And through all that transition is when I met Corey. Corey was introduced to me by some other women who knew me and knew him. And so that's how we were introduced, like right before the pandemic hit, and then it took off.
Okay. So tell me about that. Obviously, you hear people say like timing is everything. Mm-hmm. Can you attest to that with your relationship with your husband and how you all met?
Yeah. Well, timing is absolutely everything, because you can meet the right people at the wrong time. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Okay. And so there may be somebody you dated years ago and it just wasn't the right time for you guys. Mm-hmm. But this is like a prime example in Corey's and our relationship, because at that time when we met, we both wanted the same things. There mm-hmm. could have been a time when we met when we wanted different things. But at this particular time in our lives, we wanted the same things. And so that mm-hmm. is what kind of, you know, propelled us into a relationship. We were at the same juncture in our lives.
So let me ask you this. How early on did you recognize that you all were on the same page and wanting the same things? Like, how did that conversation flow? And I ask that because I know sometimes as women, we can feel like, should I play it cool? Like, mm-hmm. being coy for the boy? Or should I be upfront? Like, hey, you know, I'm not asking for a proposal on this date, but, you know, I do desire marriage, mm-hmm. children, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. How did you introduce that? Or how did the conversation come about?
That's a good question. So let me say this to you, Jess. Mm-hmm. Maybe when I was younger, I thought about, and when I say younger, I'm talking about like maybe a little girl on up to preteen, teenager, maybe around 20s. I thought mm-hmm. about a marriage and a husband, you know, kids and all of that. Mm-hmm. But also, let me give you a little background about me. I was raised kind of like in a non-traditional family. Like I have three aunts and none of them had kids. Mm-hmm. Two of them didn't desire kids. So right. I grew up around this. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I grew up in a household where my parents never stressed marriage or kids. They yeah. never said, oh, you're going to give me some grandbabies. They were not those parents. Yeah. They never said, oh, girl, when you going to find the one? They were not those parents. Actually, when mm-hmm. I was dating my high school sweetheart, I guess you can say that, because we dated all through undergrad. His parents were kind of promoting marriage, and my mom was like, no, she's too young. No. And so I kind of had that in my head. And so this is the environment I'm raised in. So when I started dating, I used to really date, and I would get into these long-term relationships. And of course, you know, if it's meant, you want it to turn into marriage, but it wasn't like the number one thing for me. Like right. the guy that I was engaged to previously, when he proposed, I was like, okay, you know, we can be engaged for like a long time. We don't have to get married soon, because I just never was. And then I'm a product of divorce too. So okay. I just never was just super big on marriage like that.
Okay.
And then when I met Corey, I still wasn't tripping off of marriage.
Okay.
Corey more so was in line with marriage than I was. And when I first met Corey, I actually was like, no, I don't think I'm going to date him either, you know, but Corey was very persistent. But I was like, no, you know, because I had been in New Orleans for a few years and I dated like a couple of guys, but I was doing this whole single run before I met Corey. Like I was just single for a couple of years or so, just, you know, enjoying my own company again. So I never was on a pressure marriage. If I would be honest, I used to say I wanted the child more than I wanted marriage. Mm-hmm. So with Corey would bring up marriage more so than okay. I would. Yeah. So he was into marriage more so than me, but I was open to marriage, never against marriage, just okay. wasn't pressuring anybody to get okay. married. So yeah. In that case, it might be a rare case. I don't know. But he was more into marriage than I was.
No. So I think I'm glad you shared what you shared about your background. Mm-hmm. And I can relate to it in that sense. So I am a product of divorce as well. Mm-hmm. My mom is one of the youngest of eight. My dad is the youngest of five. And all my dad's siblings had children, were married. My mom, I don't know how my grandparents worked this out, but they had four boys, four girls. And the two of the girls never had children. And growing up, like they were, all the girls lived in Mobile, which is where I'm from. So they were really involved in rearing us. Like if my, you know, both of my parents were working, they would pick us up, take us to dance. If we were out of school, same thing. One of my aunts, the one who didn't have children, was a teacher. And I never thought about it. I never even had the conversation with them as to, oh, you don't have kids. I just was like, okay, like this is auntie, this is Auntie Mel. They have more disposable income to buy me some candy and take me to Marshalls and Dillard's and you know, back when that Gafers, back when that was a thing. So I never thought about it. So as I got older and two of my sisters were like, we don't want kids, I was just like, okay. You know, one of the sisters I asked.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Because I know growing up, she always talked about it. And as I think it was like, as she approached 30, I did ask her, I was like, look, I'm rocking with whatever decision you want. I'm just bringing this up out of love because I know it was something that you did want at one point. But if you change your mind, cool. And she was like, honestly, you know, my husband and I, we just don't want it. I was like, all right, cool, girl. So what you get into this week? Like, and that was the end of the conversation. Whereas I have come across people even at my age at 32, and I had someone recently, I was out at a gathering with my partner, and she was like, oh, she didn't realize how old I was. I made a comment, I shared, I was like, yeah, I'm 32. And she was like, oh, she said, so wait, are you going to freeze your eggs? Now, mind you, I've only been around this person twice.
That's so funny.
This is not a conversation I even have with my best friend. Best friends since we're five. And I was like, I'm taken aback, and I'm also trying not to trying to be polite because I'm like, this is your homeboy's sister. I don't want to get too rah-rah, but I don't know you on that level to have this intimate of a conversation. And I was like, well, no, I'm not. And she said, so wait, what are you gonna? And I was like, what is meant to happen will happen. I said, I do desire to be a mother, but I'm also a big proponent of adoption. I would love to adopt and foster children later in life. Even older children, because I know they end up stuck in the system. That's that's a belief that I have. And so, you know, from there she backed off, but it was very uncomfortable because I don't know you. And so I share that to say, I'm glad you share that about your background because my parents as well, like they were big proponents of, like, you know, doing things in a certain order if you're going to do it, but they still aren't pressing me off like grandkids. With me is my stepmom, but like my mom, my dad, they.
Mine weren't either.
Although my dog, that's their grandchild. They're not tripping. So what one question I was going to ask you, which you pretty much answered by sharing your background, is it seems like you didn't feel any pressure to push the relationship in that direction at all. So what would you say to a woman who does feel that pressure internally as well as from those around her?
That is a great question. So let me just backtrack to listen to what you were saying. First of all, the girl who approached you and asked you, were you going to freeze your eggs? Like, you just totally got to give her grace because she's working off of what she's learned from society. And yeah. Some people don't take the second to think for themselves. They only mm-hmm. think about what they've been taught to think about, you know? Right. So she's coming from a place of influence. So you got to totally forgive her. And I'm saying this because I've been pressured so many times mm-hmm. when someone has asked me my age about marriage, about kids. So let's go back to what you were saying about you were raised in a family where some aunts chose not to have children. And that was the same with me. And I remember not even questioning it until I had a cousin who said, yo, your aunts, they don't want marriage. They don't want kids. And I never thought about it because that's how they roll until he questioned me and I was like, no. Some people don't understand that not every woman or man wants to be a parent and a partner, you know? Mm-hmm. And society doesn't show us that particular person. Like, if you think about television, you mostly see people who are either married, looking for relationships, trying to have kids. You don't see too often the show where they show the single man or the single woman just enjoying their life and not worried about marriage or kids. You know, it's mm-hmm. always a quest for a date or, you know, some type of partnership. So I lived in a household that I kind of had non-conventional parents where they weren't stressing that. But also, let me say this, when I was 17, my brother had my niece and my brother was just about to turn 20 years old. So I was in a household with a baby because at the time his wife now, but they weren't married because they had their first child at 20, 21 years old. So mm-hmm. they were still in separate homes. So my niece would come to our house for a week and then their house for the other week. So I had the experience of being around a small child when I was 17 years old. And I was around this child because I was still in high school. So I was around this child often. I often babysat this child and it was a lot. Mm-hmm. And if you need birth control, I feel like that's the best birth control. You know what I'm saying? It was a lot. I remember mistakenly giving her prune juice instead of her milk. So she was using the bathroom all night. It was like, and I remember my mother coming in the door and I met my mother at the door with that baby and said, here, no. And then I have best friends who had babies young. Like when we were like 21, I had a best friend who had her son, who's my godson. And we went from running the streets to, well, hold up, let me see if mommy can watch my son. Or hold on, let me see. Or either if they couldn't, we would be in the mall with the stroller with her son. And so I'm mm-hmm. like, I love my godson, but this is not the life that I want right now. So I had mm-hmm. all these people who went before me on this journey. Even a best friend who got married young to her high school sweetheart. I had all these people go before me. And so what I do is I let life teach me and I watch them and I believe, you know what I'm saying, what they show me. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna keep waiting. And I remember my best friend saying, I mentioned something about marriage with the guy that I was engaged to. And my best friend was like, girl, you wait as long as you can with marriage and children. And I took that to heart because I still remember that advice she gave me. So I was never one to pressure because I had examples all around me, including the ones that I live with, like my parents, to show me. And not saying that this was like I had all the best examples of marriage and, you know, parenthood, but still, I knew that it was nothing for me to rush into because it takes a lot of work, both marriage and parenthood. It takes a lot more than cute pictures and, you know, vacations and dressing the child up. It's a lot. And plus, also, my mother has a doctorate in social work and she taught parenting classes. And she also had groups of teenage girls who got pregnant and that she would, you know, counsel. So I was around that as well. Okay. And I was just like, it's nothing for me to rush into. But however, I did get the question that you got a lot, especially working for the state, because a lot of older women are still in those jobs. And I was like one of the younger ones. And I remember I was about to turn 30 and it was about to be my 30th birthday. And my friend and I had planned a trip to LA and I was telling the people in the office, oh, I'm turning 30 in a couple of weeks. And me and Misha are going to LA to celebrate. And they were like, ooh, 30. Cause I guess I never really just talked about my age around the office because there was no reason to. And they were like, ooh, 30. And I remember one particular lady, she was like, girl, you ain't got no husband and you don't want no child. And that's the first time I ever thought and said, am I supposed to be trying to get a husband and a child because I'm turning 30? That's the first time I ever just really like questioned myself. Because like mm-hmm. I said, how I grew up. And then plus, I used to watch a show back in the day. It's an old show, but my mother used to watch it, called Mary Tyler Moore. And mm-hmm. Mary Tyler Moore was the single lady who worked in communication, and she wasn't like stressing about a child. She would go on dates, but she wasn't stressing about a child or, you know, a husband, but she was just getting her career together. So I admire women like that. But yeah, that's the first time I stopped and thought, was like, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Because pressure is a mother. When people keep saying, are you gonna, when are you gonna, girl, you better hurry up because your eggs, this and that. So I remember distinctively, there you go.
You're good. I knew what you meant.
I remember distinctively going to my mother and mm-hmm. telling her what the lady said. And my mother said something very simple yet profound. She was like, Sam, all you need is one egg. You know, because they tell you each year you lose egg, right? She said, Sam, all you need is one egg. And I was like, you know what, girl, you're so right. Because if I have 15 eggs left, all I need is one. Mm. That's all you need is one good one to have a baby. That's it. People tell you each year, you're losing eggs, you're losing eggs. Okay, but all I need is one to make a baby. So I dust that off, girl, and went back with my life.
I love that. That is so profound.
Yeah.
I feel like that'll be a soundbite for this episode. All you need is one good egg.
All you need is one. That's all you need is one.
So let me ask you this. What, I know you mentioned like you weren't really, marriage wasn't like a top priority. You mm-hmm. were open to it, but it wasn't top priority, right. But it was mm-hmm. for your husband.
Mm-hmm.
And you did desire to be a mother, although you weren't rushing that.
Right.
So what things, helped make you feel at that stage in life, like with Corey, just mm-hmm. with everything that mm-hmm. you were like, okay, I'm ready to embrace this and step into this chapter.
So that's another good question, girl. You hit me with a good question. So here's the thing. So, and it's funny because I just talked to this other young lady yesterday for an interview for Hello Beautiful. She has a program or a brand called Ode to Wellness, where she helps young ladies to decipher if they want to be parents. And I was like, that is so genius. And so we were talking, so I can do an interview with her. But I told her what she was doing is what I did with myself. I had to get real with myself within those couple of years that I wasn't dating. I had to ask myself, after all, I was away, I'm 42 now, so I was probably around 36 or so, and I had to ask myself and get real with myself and say, Sam, do you really want a child? Do you really want marriage? Or is this something that society has told you that you should have? And so I had to ask myself the questions, why do you want this? What's the reason that you want this? Because let me tell you, even though I can sit up here and say that I am a nonconformist and I'm never influenced by society, I am human. And maybe 85% of me is an individual, but there is that 15% that I can be influenced. Because if I'm seeing these images all day on television, on social media, in the streets, you will say something like, well, maybe it's what I should be doing. You know what I'm saying? Well, maybe that's how life should go. But I have to get real with myself in all situations and ask me, is that what I want for me? That look good on my friend, that look good on my mother, but is that what I want for me and my lifestyle? Mm-hmm. And once I asked myself that question and sat with it for a minute, I did come to the conclusion that, yes, I would like a child, not for selfish reasons, but to put another decent human being out into the world, put another healthy Black young man out into the world. And I'm hoping that he will be healthy mentally and everything. You know, you do best, but children grow up and make their own decisions. But, you know, and to continue my legacy, my lineage. So I had to get real with myself and say, why do you want this? And for marriage, I want a partnership, someone that I can build with, someone that I can, at the end of the day, go over my day with, you know what I'm saying? Create some stuff with, kick it with, you know, someone that I can help enhance their life and vice versa. So I had to get real with myself and ask myself, why do I want these things? Instead of, am I doing it because I think I should, because I'm at a certain age, you know? So, and I felt like that I could really enhance someone's life and a child's life, you know? And at this age, I have a totally different perspective on marriage and motherhood than I had at 20 and 30. Not saying that there aren't mature people at 20 and 30 who are doing marriage and motherhood and doing it great. I'm just saying I wasn't one of those people.
Right.
I have a better mindset now than I did at 20 and 30.
So tell me how your mindset has shifted at your age now than it was at 20, at 30. Because you're at 20, I was not prepared at all to be anyone's wife. And I even realized at 30 how much there is in me that still needs to be mature and just learning how to love a man and it's a lot.
A whole lot. And let me tell you something, Jess. Even at 42, I still have a ways to go. So me sitting here telling you this at 42, call me again at 52. I might have a whole other different perspective on marriage, on anything. So this is me telling you this today. You know what I'm saying? And my mindset now is of self first, you know? And so let me back you up. When I was 20 and 30, of course it was self first because I had no other people to take care of or to think about or consider. And then when you jump into a marriage and motherhood, that consumes a lot of your time. And so I had to get back to self first because I realized that self first makes me the best mother, the best wife. You know what I'm saying? So I had to learn how to be more in tune with myself and to pour into myself so that I could be the person that they want to be around. Because like Susan Taylor would say, when you're sweet to yourself, you're sweet to others. So I had to really learn that. And also, I had to be more self-aware. I wasn't as self-aware as I am now. And hopefully this will continue to evolve and grow, but I wasn't as self-aware. And in my 20s and 30s, I probably would have done things because that's what my mother did. Or that's what my grandmother did. Or that's what my friend did. Instead of now saying, Sam, how do you want to raise Cruz? What type of young man do you want him to be? Is spanking him your thing? It's not my thing. You know what I'm saying? And so, but maybe in my 20s and 30s, I would have done what the crowd was doing, you know? And I don't think that would have been fair to my child, you know? In my 20s and 30s, I would have automatically probably put him in a type of environment where it's structured and everything. Now at 42, I want him to be in a Montessori environment where it's creative and he learns like freely. I never thought about these things at 20 and 30. At 20 and 30, I wouldn't have thought about getting him a savings right when he hit the world. At 40 when I had him, started him off with an...
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this... It's the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast. To our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Investment account right then and there. I didn't think about that at 20 and 30 because I didn't have one for myself, you know? So it's a different mindset. And then maybe at 20 and 30, I couldn't afford to, you know, raise him or take him maybe out of town or things like that, raise him how I would like to raise him. Now I'm able to have a flexible schedule, you know, where I have time for him. At 20 and 30, I probably would have been working from 9 to 5, picking him up, having an attitude because I'm tired, which, you know, you still can do, you know what I'm saying? Because at 40 something, because, you know, you're human, but at 40 something, I'm aware that my attitude has nothing to do with my child, but everything to do with that I'm stressed or I'm not doing this for me or that. So I think clearer at 42, I'm more self-aware. So that helps me out a lot.
I feel like you said everything, just so many things that were important on like self first and your self awareness, because those aren't things that would be automatic thoughts. But I do think it's important. You have to put yourself first because a book I finished recently called The Emotionally Healthy Woman, it just helped me realize a lot of bad habits that society will tell you are good, but that I have within me that aren't good. And it actually ended up bringing out negative sides of me and making the household not pleasant for my man, my dog, or anybody. Because really, I've overextended myself.
Yes.
And so when you've gone, like you said, when you're sweet to yourself, you can be sweet to others.
Yes.
So I love that you said that, and just the different things that you practice now with your son to set him up for a better life so that he's starting out, he's not getting it out the mud.
Yeah.
That's not
exactly. Exactly.
It's not the goal. And, you know, I really like that. So being that you did, now keep me honest, you gave birth at 40.
I gave birth 2 weeks before my 40th birthday.
Okay.
So yeah. 40.
So let me ask you this, because again, there's a lot of education, but there's also, I think, a lot of fear tied into the quote unquote education that we're given as women regarding having children, particularly after the age of 35. Mm-hmm. You hear terms like geriatric pregnancy, things of that nature. And especially with the mortality rate being what it has been for Black women. I know we just celebrated Black Maternal Health Week. I want to ask you, what are some things, I know we talked about in your bio that you are an avid yogi and meditation. What are some things in addition to that, that you focus on to prioritize your health before, during your pregnancy, postpartum, all of those things?
Okay. So also let me say this too. I come from four mothers who, and I'm talking about mothers before my mothers, before my grandmother, who had children on one side, my father's side. I know, my great grandmother had a child, her last child, maybe in her early 40s. On my mother's side, her grandmother, her paternal grandmother had a whole nother set of children in her mid 40s. And she had already got started like in early 20s, but she had a whole nother set in her mid 40s. Plus her maternal grandmother, my great grandmother, had her last child at about what, 42? So I knew about this, you know what I'm saying? So I knew it wasn't an anomaly to have children later on in life, but society doesn't talk about those women. They only talk about the women who have babies in the 20s and 30s. Mm-hmm. And let's be clear, anything can go wrong with childbirth if you're 20 or 40. You know, anything can go wrong. When they say you have one foot in the grave and one foot out, they're not lying, because you're literally carrying a human that you're about to produce through your body. So that is a delicate act. So anything can go wrong if you're 20 or you're 40. But what helped me, and it's just simple, I make sure I go to the doctor regularly. If I get a cut on my arm and it's still bleeding in a few days, I'm going to the doctor. I go to the doctor. I've always been up on my pap smears. I do not let that fall by the wayside, because I am very into my health, because I want to live the best life I can live while I'm on this earth. So I'm going to eat good. I try to follow the 80-20 rule, where I eat mostly healthy and then have the type of snack I want, maybe here or there. I have a drink or something, but I was raised eating healthy. And so I try to stick with those habits. I'm always going to do some type of moving. I played basketball in junior high and high school, so I'm used to working out. So I'm always going to do some type of movement every day. And so I just make sure that I eat as good as I can eat, move, and I stay up on my doctor's appointments. And if you go get a pap smear, you can usually find out if something is off and try to, you know, get that fixed, if you want to have children. So you learn about your body. You're supposed to be an advocate for your body. You know what I'm saying? Right. You're supposed to know more about your body than the doctor does, because sometimes the doctor is human, you know, and the doctor will tell you, oh, that's just this or that. But if you know your body, and then you know that, okay, something's off, you know? So you're supposed to really, really be in tune with your body and learn your body. And I think that really helps. And so that's what I did. I've always been in tune with my body, always. And when something felt off, it was off.
I like that you talk about being in tune with your body, so that way, because the doctor is only seeing you, like, let's say you're going for your pap smear, you may see them once a year, or, you know, if you're someone who is going with the new insurance regulations, it's like every 3 years, right? Mm-hmm. So you still will see your doctor, but you're in your body every day. It's important to pay attention and make note, like if something feels off, keep it in mind, don't ignore it, so that way you can relay that information to your doctor, and you can advocate for yourself in doing that.
Yes. Let me tell you, it's one thing to know something, but it's a whole other thing to actually act on what you know, you know? Mm-hmm. So some people, you know that if you drink three drinks that your body's going to reject it, you're going to be feeling some type of way. Well, some people continue to do that to their body, even though they know the results.
Right. Me,
if I do something that doesn't feel good to my body, I cut it. I do not do it ever again. You know what I'm saying? If I eat too much, if I, like in the past, I may have eaten too much junk. And the way I felt after eating that much junk, I was like, never again. I'm not doing that to myself. And so that's what I'm talking about. And I believe that loving yourself is loving God, because this is what God gave you. So take care of the temple. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if I know that when I eat a vegetable every day, I feel good. When I drink water, I feel good. Why not do what makes you feel good? You know, and you're rewarding your body. Yeah, you're rewarding your body, and you're telling your body, I love you, and I want you to continue to live and do wonderful things. And your body will do wonderful things in return once you, you know, take care of it.
I'm glad you mentioned that. So I want to take a moment to spotlight our sponsor for the first season of Style and Conversation. Our sponsor is Vita Authority. I love this product, all of their products. I can't say enough good things about them. Mm-hmm. They have actually given our listeners a 15% off code, which is Styled by Jess. Okay. And what I'm holding in my hand is their powdered collagen. I've been consuming this now for over a year and a half. I noticed a difference in my hair, my skin, my nails, my energy. Also, to be honest with you, my weight management. Mm-hmm. And I recognized that recently as I went to the doctor, because I was a little timid to look at the scale. And I looked over, I was like, that's all I weigh. And they were like, okay. And, I, you know, granted, I've made a few other changes. But, you know, I, like a lot of people, had gained that COVID along with some love
weight.
So I really love this product. I'll add a scoop to my water every morning. Something else that I love, this is their Melt PM. So there have been times where I might have like a little too much on my mind at night, and I have just struggled with getting to sleep. And so I really love this. They are weight loss, not weight loss capsules, but their sleep support, but they also aid in all the four keys to healthy weight loss, which is appetite control, sleep support, because that's very important in maintaining a healthy weight, and or if you're trying to lose weight, metabolism, as well as helping to control cravings. And so I really enjoy this. I typically only eat two meals per day, and so it's helped me a lot with that. And so I just want to share more about Vita Authority with you all. At Vita Authority, we believe everyone should be able to take their health into their own hands. Yeah. And we envision a future where health and nutrition products are found in counters in every single household. We pride ourselves on being an absolute authority when it comes to health and wellness supplements, and set the standard on providing high quality, science-based, clean, tested, and proven products for every person from every walk of life. Vita Authority can now be found at GNC retail stores, as well as other retailers nationwide, and has gone international in Canada, the Dominican Republic, Panama, the Caribbean, and Africa. For more information about Vita Authority and our commitment to promoting women's health, wellness, and active lifestyles, please visit www.vitaauthority.com. And that is spelled VITAUTHORITY.com. And again, that 15% off code for all of our listeners is STYLEDBYJESS. So let's jump back into the conversation. So I noticed that, you know, you prioritizing your health and just overall wellness, meditation, moving your body, all these things are important. And I think that really ties into you, what you said earlier about self first. So can you tell me how these things, because I'm an avid believer in it as well, and I know how I feel about it, but I want you to share with the listeners, how does this tie into you being the best wife, mother, friend, business owner, all of these things? How does that tie into that?
As I said, it's simple. If you don't take care of yourself, you're no good to anybody. You know, you're no good. If you're tired, you're no good to anybody. You know, if you are in the hospital because you're unhealthy, you're no good to anybody. And so taking care of yourself is basically like a spiritual act. You know, it's a spiritual act, so that you can be the best for yourself and for others. And so if I don't take time to spend time with me or do my yoga, then I will be basically having an attitude, and that attitude would be taken out on my husband or, you know, on my child or whatever. So I try to make sure that I take care of myself in order to be better for them and for myself. And it's easier to say because, and this is where the nonprofit comes in that my friend and I have, Black Women for Self. It's easy to say because Black women have been taught to be the work mules of the world. Right. We have been taught to do everything for everybody except ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that notion is killing a lot of Black women.
Yes.
You think about stuff like hypertension, diabetes, heart disease. All of that is caused by a few things, but one of those things is stress, you know, and not pouring into yourself or taking the time to say no or taking the time to say yes to yourself. And so when we started the Black Women for Self, we were in a deficit. We were always talking about, oh, I got to do this. I got to run here. I got to do this. Instead of taking a moment to check in with ourselves and make sure that we are okay. Because if we aren't okay, none of those things can get done. And plus, it's our birthright to rest, you know,
right?
Rest is spiritual. It is very spiritual. That's when you get your ideas. That's when you, you know, your body kind of rejuvenates and, you know, your cells kind of, you know, all work together to make everything just basically flow, you know, when you just sit down and have a moment. That's when you hear from God. And so if we're not doing this, then basically we won't be here that long. You know, we're killing ourselves, you know? So we had to basically take a stance, and then we call it radical self-care because it's a revolutionary act, because Black women are not supposed to put themselves first. We're supposed to put everybody before us first. If you look back in your families and you have some women who are putting people first, you know, you think about how happy were they really, you know? And we're meant to love our lives and be happy. And when we're very happy, you know, the others around us are happy. They tell you, and I know everyone always reference the plane, the stewardess.
You're supposed to put your mask on first. Yep.
That's just in life, period. Because if you're not putting your mask on first, you're going to panic. You can't help the person by you. So you have to take care of you first, and everyone else will fall in line, and everyone else will appreciate that you're taking care of you first. And it's not a selfish thing. It's literally a live or die thing. Take care of yourself first. Yes.
So what would you say to the wife and or mother who's maybe carrying one or both of those roles, and she feels like, I'm overwhelmed. I don't know how to even start taking care of myself. Right. And the second part to this question is getting your partner on board with supporting that. And I just want to say, it doesn't necessarily make them a bad partner. It just it may be a period of adjustment. So what pieces of advice would you offer to that woman?
You said something profound. It doesn't make them a bad partner, but they do have to adjust. But it's hard because they may have been taught by the woman in their life, like their mother, that they come first and the mother comes second. So it is a hard transition. So my thing is, I would say start off, of course, small, maybe 5 minutes out the day. Just take to your.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces, Gucci bags, Prada heels, but my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal, game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Yourself, whether you go outside, sit down, maybe take a walk for like around the corner, come back, or maybe watch a clip of a show or something. The child will be okay, and the husband or the partner will be okay, you know? And you have to, my mother will always tell me this, and she was so right. You have to show people how to treat you. You have to teach them how to treat you. So it's going to be a process, but you have to teach them that at this time of the day, I want my 5 minutes. And at this time of the day, I want to take a long shower. And you guys will have to be okay. And you will get pushback from some people who don't understand it. But at the end of the day, they will still live. And if they die, and that they're not dying because you're putting yourself first, you know? So you have to teach people how to treat you. And it is easier said than done, but you have to do it in order to be a better you. So like I said, if the baby is, I want to do, or if maybe it's the baby's little, if the baby is fed and changed and, you know, doesn't have gas or anything, and the baby is crying, the baby will be okay if the baby cried for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, nothing will happen. Mm-hmm. If you need to go in another room and kind of gather yourself, the baby will be okay and come back out. If your partner is nagging about this or that, or can you help me? He will be, or she will be okay if you say, no, not right now. And it's so hard to do, but once you get in the habit of doing it, it's better. It's so much better. You're so happier when you tell somebody, no, I can't do that right now. You don't have to say no because, oh, I'm sorry. No, my plate is already full. I can't do that. And it takes practice. But my thing is, your life is dependent on it. You have to do it, or you will not be the best mother. You won't be the best partner. You have to say, I need to do this for me. And then you come back and then you do some other stuff. But you make sure you get you in each day, even if it's just 5 minutes. Start at 5 minutes each day. And let me tell you what I had to do. I told you before I was a mother and a wife, I had no problem with just getting me in because it was just me. So when I got into the situation, I was always doing yoga in the evening. That didn't work anymore because either Cruz would be crawling under me or needed something. Corey would sometimes make it back home. And that's my husband, Corey. He would sometimes make it back home at the right time. And sometimes he would go over at work and couldn't make it back home. So I would miss my yoga class. So I'm mad. I'm this and that. Well, my yoga instructor had 6:30 a.m. classes. Me, I am not to get up in the morning person, right? I was like, forget that. I'm going to miss it. But then I'm miserable because I didn't get a workout in or this and that. So I started walking my child around the block for the first exercise move. I was like, okay, if I can't find anybody to watch him, I'm going to just walk around the block with him in a stroller. So that helped. That helped my mental health. But I really wanted to do yoga. So I said, you know what, Sam? You're going to have to do this for you. You're going to have to get up in the morning before anybody is up to get you in. This is what we have to do sometimes. So I am now a 6:20 a.m. riser to get into my 6:30 class so that I can get me in the morning. And while it was hard, I had to adjust something to make sure that I'm going to go the extra mile for me. I'm going to be a morning person for me. So I did that. I got up and I've been doing it for a year, getting up in the morning plus walking with my son. And now I try to fix my schedule to where I can go get a walk in before I pick him up. But when he was little, I had to have him. So I would walk him around the block and it was just me and him, and he couldn't talk at that time. So I had time to just basically be to myself, and he loved the ride. And then, like I said, for me, I said, okay, you're not a morning person, but for yourself, adjust some stuff. And I get up in the morning before anybody is up, and I do me.
Sam, I love that. I like that you figured out another routine before you surrendered to the 6:30 class.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Either way, you said the gist of it.
Yeah.
With the routine prior to that and surrendering to the 6:30 mm-hmm. is that you found a way to make time for yourself.
Yes.
To move your body and help with your mental health and clarity. And at the same time, for the mom who may be struggling with that guilt, you were also spending time with your son.
Yeah.
Going on a walk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is healthy for him to be outside and embrace nature. And, you know, it's just all the, and see you taking care of yourself so he can put that into practice.
Yes.
As he gets older and he'll remember that. My mom did this, you know, she really took care of herself. And so that's something that I need to keep in my life.
Yes, all of
those things.
Yeah, thank you. All of that. Let me tell you, we are all creative human beings, not just the people who are artists and painters and writers, you know, singers, dancers. We are all creative. So when one obstacle presents itself, let me tell you, if you get still, when I say get still, just think about it. Sometimes when you're in the shower or the bathtub, you get ideas. They come to you because you're in a state of being still and just concentrating on the shower, and you get a lot of creative ideas. When one obstacle presents itself, get still. I promise you will come up with the answer to overcome that obstacle. And if a mother is saying right now, I have no time. First of all, She needs to change her mindset and say, yeah. I do have time. I will find the time. I'm finding yeah. time. And I promise you, she will find a few minutes, if it's just a few minutes out the day, to give to herself. And she might have to tell somebody no for that few minutes, or she might have to get up earlier for that few minutes, or she might have to go to bed a little later for that few minutes, but she can find it. It'll come to her, especially if she's seeking it.
I like what you said about shifting your mindset, mm-hmm. and also words have power. Mm-hmm. So instead of saying, I don't have time, saying I will find time.
Yes.
And then that will lead you to intentionally, you'll believe that you'll find time.
Yes.
And you will.
Yep. Yep. It will start opening up. I promise. And more time will come, and more time will come. So yeah.
And you'll just get better and better at it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So let me ask, so of course the title of the podcast is Style and Conversation, and with mm-hmm. you being a fashionista and all things style, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you our one style question.
Okay.
So I wanted to ask you, what is your go-to style uniform?
That's a good question. Cause I am multifaceted when it comes to style, but I do have like a theme, and I really like classic, timeless. I want to wear something that I could have worn maybe 10 years ago and it still was on trend, or I can wear it 10 years from now and it's still on trend. I like to buy classic pieces. So I would describe my style as classic with a little bit of jazziness, you know, maybe a little bit of trendiness here and there, but mostly classic.
I love that. And I can mm-hmm. see that for you. And mm-hmm. with that, I want all the listeners to know where they can find you and keep up with you, because you always put out such good information into the world. So tell Thank everyone you. Where they can find you. And if you want to promote your nonprofit, share more mm-hmm. about that and just any other upcoming projects that you have.
So you can find me on Instagram at Samjah Iman. That's S-A-M-J-A-H. I do have a blog that I haven't written in since the end of last year, because I kind of just only write when I'm motivated. But I have a lot of entries on there from back in the day where it's like a public diary to me. So mm-hmm. I feel like people can still find that very useful. And it's styleandenergy.com. And also for my nonprofit, Black Women for Self, that's on Instagram at Black Women for Self, and also blackwomenforself.org, where we are encouraging women to put themselves first through activities like sister circles. And we link up with other organizations and do yoga in the park and retreats and things like that, just to help Black women be intentional about putting themselves first. Because it's one thing to say you're going to do it, but if we have an event scheduled on Saturday and you come, then we're helping you to be intentional about pouring into right. yourself. And also I have a lot of articles I write on hellobeautiful.com, but you can go straight to them on my link tree in my bio on Instagram. So that's what I have going on right now, just my writing and my nonprofit.
Well, Sam, I just want to say I have really enjoyed our conversation, and I know that so many listeners will be blessed from this, and so many women who may find themselves either in a committed relationship contemplating the next steps or just still navigating the dating streets. I just hope that everyone is inspired mm-hmm. by your story and just your willingness to show up boldly in the world and be yourself. And I appreciate you for just being so transparent with us and sharing your story.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Like I said, my wish is that everyone could follow their own heart, you know, mm-hmm. and if your desire is to be married or to have a child, then hold on to that desire. I'm not sure if anyone has told you this, but 32 years old is so young. You have yeah. so much time. Oh my God.
I get mixed feelings. Like I still, sometimes I'm like, am I old enough for this? Should I call my mama and get permission?
Right. You know? Right,
but then
right.
there's some people who are like, ooh, girl, time's a ticking.
Right. And I'm like, oh my goodness. You're so young. I can't tell any woman. Yeah. You can have a baby at 40. I can't, cause I'm not your doctor, but yeah. if you know your personal health, but I'm looking at 32 is, oh my God. So young. You have all the time in the world. No need to rush, because let me tell you, rushing will get you in a pickle. You hear me? Rush. And listen, and even with me waiting mm-hmm. until 40 years old for marriage and for a child, that doesn't mean it's without its challenges.
Yeah.
It's just that I can handle hard better. Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that it's going to all work out as far mm-hmm. as the marriage. It's just that I have a mature mindset. But yeah. I could have gotten pregnant and married earlier, you know, but it yeah. was just a lot of things that were not going to align with, you know, what I was trying to do with my life. But you have the time. These two things are too important to be rushed in. You know, you're rearing a human. You have to show this human everything, you know, from eating to using the restroom. You got to teach this human everything. You don't want to rush into that, because with every blessing comes challenges. Every blessing has challenges. Every blessing is work. So, girl, enjoy your life for as long as you can. And if your spirit is telling you to have a child, then have a child. If spirit is telling you to wait, then wait. But it's nothing to rush into. It's nothing to take lightly at all. Your whole life shifts, and you have to be mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically prepared for that shift. It shifts. It's like, girl, I can remember when on a Saturday I could lay in bed and just watch, binge watch some shows. You know how long it's been since I've done that? Like, I have to get it in here and there, because, girl, those babies, they
cruise
are
up.
Yes.
Lit. Yes. They be lit on Saturday.
Yes. They be lit on Saturday all the time. So it's like, you literally, and now I don't, it doesn't give me like an attitude all the time. Now I'm at the place where like, this is what he does. This is what I've gotten myself into. At 20 or 30, girl, I would have had a boot in my mouth and been so mad. But now, and some people aren't. Some people at 20 and 30 are just as mature as I am at 42. But me, yeah, no. But it's a lot. It's a lot to get into, and it's nothing to be rushed into. Nothing. Nothing at all. Please. Nothing at all. You are, when I say you have time. My mother had me at 32.
I receive it.
Mm-hmm. My mom,
she had my sister at 33. Yeah, see? She was 30 when she had me and 33. And funny enough, she had her fertility struggles. They were about to adopt, and then she found out she was pregnant with me.
See, you see that? Do you see how that works? And I had a miscarriage before I had Cruz, you know? Yeah. I had a miscarriage before I had Cruz, and it was, of course, a challenging thing to go to. But once, let me tell you, this is what people don't do a lot of. They don't share their experiences, and I understand why. But once I started talking to other women, and it literally was like, oh, I had one. Oh, I had two. Oh, I had. It was so common. Even my doctor was like, oh yeah, girl, when I had my miscarriage, I'm like, whoa, so many women. And it made me feel better, you know? So if more women my age are talking about, yeah, well, I had a child at 38, 39, because I know a few women who had children at that age, but they just don't talk about it. People don't know they're out there, because people are only showing you guys the 20 somethings and the early 30 somethings. But I have a friend whose mother had her at 39. Yeah. So this is like a common thing.
I feel a lot more confident after speaking to you, like, okay, I'm going to trust God's journey and just roll with it.
Yeah. And listen, there are other ways, other things to give birth to, creative ideas, businesses, you know, it's so much other stuff that they only put on women, childbirth and marriage. A woman can be a brain surgeon. They would say, okay, but are you married? And did you have a child? She's a whole brain surgeon, but they're worried about her uterus and if she got married.
If someone chose her. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's sad. That's not cool. Definitely not cool at all. So there's so much stuff that you can do besides. You're not just marriage and childbirth. You're not just those two things.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Ladies, be encouraged.
Be encouraged. Please be encouraged. Be encouraged. And, you know, and if you just want a baby and if you're healthy enough, you can get a baby. I was just listening to a podcast for a woman who did IVF by herself. No husband, no boyfriend, but she wanted the baby. She got a baby, you know? So,
yeah. So it's possible.
Yeah, it's very possible.
I appreciate you. I appreciate the wisdom you share with us.
Thank you
all. I can't wait for y'all to be blessed by this episode. And thank you all again for joining us for another episode of Style and Conversation. And we will talk soon.
Thank you.
Hey, Style Crew, make sure you're keeping up with our podcast through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, as well as the Podcast Index. And if you'd like to view the podcast visually, check out my YouTube channel, Styled by Jessica Lauren. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at style_andconversationpodcast.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more, and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.